I'd like to share with you out of this second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. And I'll read verses 6 through 12 for your consideration. All right. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning: saved by the birth of a baby. Saved by the birth of a baby.
How many of you know the blood still works? Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody in here, and I know there is, that have felt the healing power of a mighty God? So you know that it works. Anybody know that if you laid down on your bed last night and you slumbered and you slept, that it wasn't your clock, it wasn't just the mere fact that you just woke up, but the blood worked this morning? For it touched you and gave you it's another day's journey. Hallelujah. Anybody realize that you're nothing but a wretch undone and all of us are sin and come short of the glory of God? But because of the power of that baby called Jesus, the blood still works. And we can say that I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, and I'm full of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that the blood still works. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what's wrong with anybody that wouldn't serve a God like the one that we have. Hallelujah to his name. The Spirit of God is in this place today. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that because, you know, we come together, but we come together looking for something. And what you come looking for, I don't have it. I'm glad to see you, but I just don't have what you come looking for. But I can tell you about somebody. Hallelujah. They got everything that you need. And I heard through the word of God that he'll even give you the desires of your very heart. That's the kind of God we serve this morning. As we celebrate and we think about this glorious season, it is just a blessing just to be here. And I wonder this morning, are we aware just what a blessing it is to be in this place of worship one more time, to be assembled together with the blood yet running warm in our veins? And we are thankful because God has allowed us another opportunity to come and to take time out to praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We are just 2 days shy of the celebration time, which we call Christmas Day. Now, if truth be told, it has been said that it was sometime this particular time of the year, but it's not necessarily accurate that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. But I thank God that I don't need to know the exact date. All I need to do is believe that he was born And he was born for a purpose. Why? Why? To save us from ourselves. This is the holiday of holidays. One that comes only once a year. One that's very festive and joyous when families and friends get together and share in fellowship and thanksgiving for our blessings as well as our here being. There are many that don't quite understand that just waking up on that day is a gift from God. There are a lot of us that if we were asked the question, you say, if I'm just here, then that's blessing enough. Then when we consider in our little small community all of the sickness that is in the land, and all the many times within this last month that the death train has rolled through our neighborhoods, we ought to be glad to be able to say that I'm yet counted amongst the living. Christmas is a very special time of year where everybody, believers as well as unbelievers, for it's a time of giving and celebrating, whether it's spiritual or whether it's just in the secular world. Christmas is a time what gets everybody's attention. Now, what burns a lot of us out, or a lot of you out, is that the mere fact that before Halloween, you can go into some places and they're already putting things out to get that Christmas mentality into your mind. And see, that's just advertising. That's just a way of getting the early birds. You know how there are those of us that say, I started early. That there are some folk that start right after Christmas getting ready for next Christmas. But I wonder, do they take time out in their preparation to say, if the Lord allow me to still be here. See, you can buy a whole lot of gifts and they can lay in the closet and nobody know it and you be dead and gone and they just be laying there. And when somebody come through and clean up your belongings, they'll find that, oh, he or she, they did some Christmas shopping. Now, if that be the case, and you were actually able to get that gift, that particular gift would be more precious to you than anything else that anyone would give you. So now, when you think about the mere fact, why is that precious? It's precious because the one that cared enough about me to get it is dead and gone. But because they love me that much, I'm going to cherish this because I'm not going to get anything else from them. But now we ought to use that mindset when we began to think about the gift of Jesus the Christ. He is a gift that one size fits all. That's one thing that you can give somebody that they can use whether they want to use it or not. It'll fit whether you know what sizes they are or not. You know, sometimes when you go into the stores and you see that garment that says one size fit all and you pick it up and you look at it and you say, oh, no. But because of the fabric, there are some pieces that you would be amazed how a skinny little guy like me could get in it and then a big guy like that can get in that same garment. You begin to wonder, how in the world did they do that? There is something about believing in miracles. It has been said that the Lord works in a mysterious way. It has been said that this is a magical time of year, a time when love is in the air and many prayers for the peace on earth are sent up to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we enjoy one another in many ways. We are more compassionate and more forgiving. We are more loving at this time of year. Have you ever noticed how we even might be a little more understanding? And we're not so hard-knocked and so hard-headed and thick-skinned to where everything just bothers us. It's a time of year that ever since we were babies and we were taught and we were given things, Christmas became a very special celebration to us. And the thing is that the older you got, the more or less that it got important to you. It wasn't quite important to you anymore. There are some that would say it's just another day. And they would be correct in saying it's just another day, but it's a day of celebration. It's a day that if you are a believer, you're excited. It's a day when we begin to think about, you know, in the kid mindset, it's what I'm going to get. In the adult mindset, to thank God for what I got. Anybody hear me this morning? See, a lot of times you got to learn how to appreciate what you already got instead of worrying God about giving you something that you don't necessarily need. The Lord said, I shall supply all your needs according to my riches in glory, but he did not necessarily say he was going to give you everything that you wanted. Christmas. There's a flip side. It's also a time of sadness. Time of depression, a time when those that are grieving and missing loved ones, and they began to, and then there are others that fret about money and what you can't do, and times are hard and resources are not like they used to be. But don't get caught up into what you can't do. Just thank God what you can do. Because the one good thing that you can do is love one another. One thing, you can open your mouth and tell somebody that you love them. You can open your mouth and say, man, I'm tired of going this way and you going that way. Let us walk together as brothers. There's a whole lot of things that we could give one another that won't be wrapped up in a box. Do you know and remember that this is not just a statement of or an excuse of justification, but one that don't have. But the fact that it's not about gifts and toys and dinners and parties, it's all about the birth of a baby. A baby that was divinely conceived and born for the sole purpose of saving us from our sins. Some of us are so holy that we forgot all about the fact of where we come from. For the Bible that I read said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible that I read also says that salvation is not nothing that you gain by your self-merits, but it is a gift from the Lord our Savior, Jesus the Christ. So now if you are able to have that testimony this morning that I'm saved, you're saved because of the blessings of Jesus. We are saved because on one particular day we were saved by the birth of a baby. He was born in an humble setting that was far from the luxuries and the majesty that one would think about one that's going to be a king. Yet he lay in a manger, a feeding trough for animals lined with hay and lovingly wrapped in swaddling clothes. We began to read this and we began to think about where Jesus came in such an humble way. He came in such a poor way, but we also have to realize he came in a way so that everybody would have access to him. Just think, if it was in the way of the mindset of the world today, those that have, they are the ones that seem to go higher and higher, and they kick the ones that don't have down lower and lower. But in this thing called Christianity, in this thing called salvation, the Lord has made and paved the way that anybody that want, all they have to do is believe. There's nothing beyond that, beyond your control or out of your grasp, unless you are an unbeliever. His birth, it ought to remind us about the mere fact that it was very important to us that he came on the scene. As we look back through history, his birth was prophesied a long time before he came on the scene. In Old Testament times, Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The ruler would come from Bethlehem in a time, but his activities have been from eternity. His going forth were in creation, and it was believed that one day the Messiah would come. Now, Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So Isaiah prophesied about this a long time before Mary had even conceived. But he also stated the fact, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Then 9:6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So Isaiah prophesied about who he was and what he was going to be. Wonderful. He's a counselor. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So when you realize that your earthly father is gone, you got a father that'll never die. We think about and we talk about all of the things that are going on in the world and how we are hating one another and we are so separate away from one another. But he is called the Prince of Peace. So if we try to grasp a little bit more of Jesus, we will learn how to have peace among ourselves. Throughout the ages of time, he was talked about and expected to appear. The fulfillment of this prophecy would bring salvation to mankind. And anybody in here that know God and believe in the power of God, you ought to be glad about it this morning. You ought to be glad that the Lord our God allowed Jesus to be born. Now, as we walk back through our text this morning, Dr. Luke tells us, as we read here in the Word of God, that there was a time that the governor Caesar Augustus, that he said that everybody in the world, all the world should be taxed. And this taxing brought about some changes. They went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So that tells us that they had a particular place that they had to go. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What we see here is the hand of God being at work. He put Mary and Joseph in the place where he needed them to be. He wanted them to be there because there was a decree made that the taxes had to be paid. Now, when you do your studying and your background, we find that Joseph needed to go, but Mary didn't necessarily have to go. But we find that Joseph and Mary went together over 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And even with Mary being in the condition that she was in, now let us note that we are talking about the ancient times. We are talking about the times of old when they didn't get in an automobile and ride comfortably. They had to get on a beast or either walk on their feet. So when you think about the mere fact that many of us won't walk 1 mile, what you think about somebody that's going to walk 80 miles just to do what the Lord God has told them to do? And actually, they were actually not necessarily going to do what God told them to do. They were going to follow the law of the land. But you see, you got to understand that God sometimes has a way of putting you in a place, and you might not understand why you are there, but you are there for the purpose and the glory of God, whether you know it or not. Anybody in here ever been in where you called the right place at the right time? And when you got there, you realized that there was a blessing in store for you. Well, Mary and Joseph, they was at the right place at the right time because they did what the Lord God told them to do. Now, the Bible said that there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we got to understand, too, that there wasn't any motels. There wasn't any hotels. That they wasn't laid up at the Embassy Suites. They had to go through the hospitality and the love of other folk. And you know how it was before we got so fancy. When we had relatives from out of town, everybody stayed in the house. Nobody go to the hotel. There were hotels out there, but you got out your bed or you made a pallet for somebody. You slept on the couch, you slept on the chair, you made a pallet on the floor. There were children over here, children over there, grown folk over there, but everybody was happy. Now, in order for us to get happy, we got to have our own place. We got to go get our own spot. If I stay over there with Pittman and them, I got to get up when they get up. I got to eat when they say eat. But if I stay over here at the hotel, I can lay here all day if I want to. If I want to go by and see my family, I can go by and see my family. If I just want to sit down and chill for a while. Well, most of us now, we've been chilling too long. Some of you don't even know how to get excited about God. Some of you don't know that you ain't got to stand up. You ain't got to holler. You ain't got to do nothing but just let God be God. I found out that if I couldn't even say a word, I could wave my hand. I found out if I couldn't get up on my leg as long as my mouth would work, I can preach that now. In fact, y'all might be able to keep up with me better if I sit down, because you know I like to move around. But I'm going to stand up. God has been good to me. Now think about what God has done for us. Now think about the fact that when Jesus the Christ was born, that he said that there wasn't any room for him in the inn. But I stopped by to let somebody know that if you trust the power of a mighty God, when you need somewhere to lay your head, all you got to do is look up to the hill from which cometh all of your help. And when you know where your help come from, you can call on the power of a mighty God. And the Lord would come in and do what needs to be done. I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that we've been saved by a baby. One day that baby was born in a manger. And because he was born in a manger, we got power to look for the power of a mighty God. They tell me that he was a small baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. They tell me that if you want to see the Lord our God, that you better go and find out where they laid him. So the Bible says when we look here in the Gospel of St. Luke, that there were shepherds abiding down in the field. They were taking care of their sheep and doing what they're supposed to do. How many times have you said that the Lord is my shepherd? But I want to let you know that the shepherd was a low estate. He wasn't the one that was all high and mighty. Now you would think when a king is going to be born that everybody would just bow down. When a king is going to get born, they ought to have luxury all around. But that wasn't the case with this baby called Jesus. They found out that he was there in a manger right around the animals. And all of a sudden we began to hear that thus said the Lord our God. The Bible said that God himself, he sent an angel down to talk to the shepherd. He told the shepherd that the baby that you've been hearing about, the Messiah has already been born. The Bible said the angel looked down and the glory of God shone around them. When the glory shone around them, the men began to get a little fearful. They began to say, what kind of action is this? But the Bible said he began to tell them, I got a message for you. He said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And I want to let you know that when you get there, there won't be no other baby like that baby. There'll be a whole lot of babies in the land, but won't be a baby like that baby. Because this baby was born to save us from our sin. This baby was born to make a way out of no way. I stopped by to tell somebody that you better learn about the birth of Jesus. I just stopped to tell you a story that's been told over 1,000 years ago. Every year, this time of the year, somebody tells the same story about Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, about her having the baby that God said she was going to have. He said that you're going to have a baby boy, and after you have that boy, call him Emmanuel, for he will be Jesus. He will be the Savior of all mankind. I want to let you know this morning that if you know anything about the power of God, God has a way that'll make everything all right. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You better believe in the power of God. Now, how many of you know that a baby don't stay a baby? A baby got to grow up and be somebody. So I thank God for Sister Mary. I thank God for Brother Joseph that looked at this baby and realized that we didn't have nothing to do with this baby coming in our life. But I'm so glad. Mary said, I found favor in the power of a mighty God. He looked down on my little body and said that that is going to be the mother of my child. Now the Bible said that this was her firstborn son. So it lets us know she had some more children after the fact that Jesus was born. If you go back in history, she had 4 more boys and 2 little girls. Mary was busy doing what the Lord told her to do. But I thank God right now that she did what the Lord told her to do. She took the time out to carry that child. She walked over 80 miles to deliver that child. And when her time had been accomplished, everything was all right. But I want to find out in Fowl's Chapel, Is there anybody that ever realized that the only reason that you are saved is because of the power of a mighty God? I'm glad this morning that I got salvation. That salvation came because that a baby was born. And that baby both grew up to be a great man of God. Where they tell me that he didn't live but 33 years. And then he had to go to a place called Calvary. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, there are those of us that realize that two of the best holidays of the year is at Christmas when Jesus was born and at Easter when he died and got up out the grave. So the Bible said that if you believe that Jesus the baby was born, if you want to be saved, then after he's grown up, died and gone on to glory, you got to believe in the power of God. Paul said it like this: but what said if the word is nigh thee in thy mouth, and in thy heart is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, the only way you're going to be saved is if you believe in the power of Jesus. Jesus, lily of the valley. Jesus, the bright and the morning star. Jesus, Mary's little baby. Jesus, the King of Kings. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. He's a Prince of Peace. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's a bridge across troubled water. He's a doctor in a sick room, a lawyer in a courtroom. He's my way. He's everything that I need. He's my ups and my downs. He's my shelter in the time of a storm. He's my pavilion in the time of trouble. I'm glad that I know the Lord for myself. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? Say yeah. Say yeah. Do you love Jesus? Is he your friend? Are you glad that on Christmas Day, we don't celebrate each other, but we celebrate Jesus? King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is the great I Am. Born as an humble baby, laid in a manger, but laying there, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We are saved by the birth of a baby. Jesus said, he went through his ministry, something about the babies. See, once we get our own mind, you do what you want to do. But something about that baby, that baby do what you tell him to do. And when that baby get big enough to where you can't tell him or her what to do no more, there's some more hands that you best be done laid them in. Because he can tell them some things all about themselves. As we celebrate this holiday season, don't let Wednesday morning come and the only thing you know is what I get. Thank God for what you already got. Anybody in here got joy? Anybody in here just happy? I know there's some of us sick. Some of us got a whole lot of bills that need to be paid. Some of us got some undone business. But we can still have some joy. Anybody got the joy of Jesus? Anybody want to make the devil out a liar? You see, the devil wants you to be depressed. He wants you to feel bad about what you can't do. But I'm here to encourage you to just be you. Enjoy God while you have a chance. Because if you got a reasonable portion of health and strength, do know that there's somebody in a worse condition than that you are in. So you thank God for where you are right now. But then you thank him even more for where you expect him to carry you to. And how many of you believe and know that he said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world? Saved by the birth of a baby. Baby's got power. If you ever, sometimes when you first get those firstborns, newborns, oh Lord, it used to be about you. But now the day belonged to them. The night belonged to them. Any time that they want your attention, all they have to do is cry out, and you will come running. Don't you think, if you believe you're a child of God, that you are just like his child? When you get in trouble, cry out. When you get sick, cry out. When you got a problem that you don't know how to solve, cry out. He's still there. He is that Father that would be able to do what nobody else can do.